B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Lamed Zayin. We're going to start from the Mishnah approximately in the middle of Daf Lamed Vav Omud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ein oigdin es halulav elo b'minoy. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, we know there's a halacha, there's actually a machlokes whether there's a chiyuv, whether it's essential to tie the lulav with adasim and aravos, or if it's just preferable, it's just a mitzvah. But Rabbi Yehuda says that when one ties the lulav, it must be tied only with one of the species of the lulav, which is either a lulav or hadasim or aravos. One of the species. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir argues and says, afilu b'chut b'meshicha, even with a thread of linen, you're allowed to tie the lulav with hadasim and aravos. Omer Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir wants to prove his point, and he says, "Ma'ase be'anshei Yerushalayim, the people in Yerushalayim, there was an incident. Shahoyu oigdin es lulavim, they would tie their lulav be'gemoinios shel zav, with fibers of gold, with thin threads of gold. And even though gold is not one of the minim, one of the four species, nonetheless they would do that." Omruloi the Chachomim said back to Rabbi Meir, "B'minoi hoyu oigdin oisa milamata," that they were not actually using the gold in order to do the igud, to tie the lulav together, because as the Chachomim hold that you have to do the igud with one of the minim of the lulav, and the gold, since it's not used for an igud, for an essential part of the mitzvah, it's only used for a noi, for to beautify the mitzvah. And anything which is there to beautify the mitzvah is not considered as taking an extra mean, an extra species, and it's just as a beautification in its own right, and therefore it is okay. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava. Rava says, afilu besiv, afilu beikra de dikla. Even though Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says that you have to use one of the species, but it doesn't mean you have to actually use a lulav for an example. It doesn't mean you have to use a lulav leaf to tie the lulav, but you can either even use other parts of the date palm, which is the lulav tree is a date palm. You're allowed to use the other parts as well for the igud because it's the same species, and this includes even the sieve, which is the palm vine, and a filub ikra de dikla, if you would peel off some of the trunk of the tree and use that to tie the lulav together, then it's okay. Omar Rava, my Talmud Rabbi Yehuda. Rava's explaining, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda that the igud has to be done with minoy, with one of the species of the lulav? Kosova lulav tzarech eged, because he holds that lulav needs, it's an essential that one ties the lulav with the hadasim and naravus. V'imaisa min achrin, and if you're going to bring a different species, then have a chamish amini. Then you've got five species, you're holding five species. You're holding, because the igud, the tying, is an essential part of the mitzvah, we view it as we give significance to what it actually is. And if it's a different species, then you're taking five species, and that's Bal Tosif. The Torah says you're not allowed to add onto the dimensions or onto the halachas of the Torah. V'omar Rava, minoa minelo de siv v'ikra de dikla mina de lulvahu. So now Rava says that, what's my source? Because I, Rava, said a minute ago at the beginning of the Gemara that you don't actually have to use the lulav leaves for the igud. You can use the palm vine or the trunk of the lulav tree. Where would I know that they're also included in lulav in that same bracket? The Tanya, because we learned in a brisa, basukos teishu. The pasuk says in the Chumash, basukos teishu shivas yomim, you should sit in sukkos. What does that mean? The word sukkos is in plural. Sukkah shel kol dover v'dover, sukkah that has any type of schach on it. It doesn't matter what you put as the schach, as long as it's psal, as long as it's psoilis ger and v'yekev, as long as it conforms with halachas we've learned early on in the Masechta, it doesn't matter which species you're using. Divrei Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, ein sukkah neheges elo bedalad minim shebelulav. That only that you could have to use for schach, for a sukkah, you have to use one of the four species of a lulav. Vadin naisen, and I have a kal v'chomer to prove that schach has to be from one of the four species of the lulav. Uma lulav, because lulav is inferior to sukkah. Sukkah's got a certain superior quality to it, a certain chumrah, a certain stringency that lulav doesn't have. And therefore we assume that any stringencies that lulav had would certainly apply to sukkah. What is this? Uma lulav. She'ein noeg ba'leilis kebayomim. Lulav is, so to speak, inferior to sukkah because it's only a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that you only do in the day, not at night. Eino noeg elo ba'arba'as aminim. And nonetheless, even though it's an inferior type of mitzvah, so to speak, because it's only done in the day, it is restricted to four species. Sukkah, so the sukkah, the more stringent type of mitzvah. Sheneheges baleilos kebiyomim. Not only is there mitzvah to be in the sukkah in the day, also in the night. Eino din sheloite elo ba'arba'as minim. Can we not take it for granted that you have to be restricted to the four species of lulav for using the schach on the sukkah? Omruloi, the Reb Meir, the Chachomim, answered Reb Yehuda and said, it's not a kal v'chomer. Kol din she'atadon tchilosei lehachmir, v'soifei lehokel. Any type of kal v'chomer like this, where there's a stringency in sukkah. Sukkah says, I want you to make sure that you're in the sukkah, not just in the day, also in the night. That stringency really is telling us, make sure to do everything you can to make it possible to be in the sukkah. Not only in the day, also in the night. But do everything you can to be able to be in the sukkah as much as possible. And that is telling us, don't restrict the materials you can use for schach, because if you restrict the materials you use for schach, it's not a kal v'chomer. Why? Because if you're going to restrict using the schach just to four species, if you're not going to find the four species or one of the four species, as Rashi says, for the schach, you won't be able to keep the mitzvah of sukkah. And the stringency of sukkah is there to tell us, make it, or the Torah is telling us that it's as easy as possible to use schach and to find schach. You don't need to restrict it to the four species, which is to the kal v'chomer. The chumrah of sukkah is telling us, don't use this kal v'chomer to restrict the schach to just four minim. The Torah says that you can use any type of schach for schach of a sukkah. And this is the way I explained it, is the way Rabbi Akiva Iger explains it in one of his tshuvas. That's the way to understand this Gemara, so it should not conflict with other places in Shas. V'chein be'ezra, we find a similar concept we're going to now see an explicit posuk that says you're allowed to use anything for a sukkah, for schach, even if it's not one of the four species. Because by Ezra, in Sefer Nehemiah, which is sometimes called Ezra in the Gemara, in Sefer Nehemiah Perek Ches, it says as follows, Omer, he said, V'asher yashmiu v'yaviru koil b'chol oreyam u'b'yushalayim leimer tzu'u ha'hor, go out to the mountain v'haviu elayim, bring to me, ale v'haviu and to bring, ale zayis, bring the leaves of a zayis, an olive tree, v'ale eitz shemen, and the leaves of an afarosimoin tree, v'ale, both of those are not of the four species of the lulav, v'ale hadas, and the leaves of a hadas bush, a type of hadas which is not kosher for the three minim, because the leaves, it's called the hadas shoita, we've learned about it, when the leaves are not protruding from the stem at the same level, that's called ale hadas, v'ale tmorim, or the leaves of the branches, the leaves of a date palm, which is the lulav tree, v'ale eitz ovois, or the leaves of a bush of kosher hadasim, lasei sukkos, in order to use them for the schach kakosov, as it says in the pasuk. So what do we see from this pasuk? That besides for using the hadas and the lulav for the sukkah, you also use the olive tree and the afarasamayin tree. And those are not the species of the four, those are not of the arba minim. So you see clearly in this pasuk, not like we saw before, not like Rabbi Yehuda said, that ein sukkah neheges elo bedalet minim shebelulav. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda will answer this and say that hani ledefanis, that when in the pasuk in Nehemiah, when Ezra said that you should bring these species for the sukkah, it wasn't for the schach, it was for the walls, and for the walls indeed there's no restrictions. Ale hadas, v'ale tmorim, v'ale etzavos is l'schach, they are used for schach. And now Rava concludes his proof that Rava said that Rabbi Yehuda can even use Siv and Ikra de Dikla. And Rava proved that, because we just brought a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda says you have to use one of the species of the Arba Minim for Schach. Utnana, we learned in a Mishnah on Daf Yudalad Amud Alef, Masachin ben Asarim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use planks, boards of wood, as Schach. Now, it cannot be boards of any other tree, because Rabbi Yehuda says you have to use one of the species. So it must be a boards used from the lulav tree. Alma, you see from here that Siv, Ikra de Dikla, that even the parts of the date palm, the parts of that tree which is not the lulav itself, are also kosher to be used for Schach. So we see that Mino de Lulvahu, it's included in the species of lulav, Shma Mino. So that's proof to what Rava said before, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, one can even use Siv and Ikra de Dikla for the Schach. Asks the Gemara, Umiyom Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going back to what we saw in the Braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda said the Arba Minim in Midyachrin Eloi. Can it really be that Rabbi Yehuda says you have to use one of these four species for Schach, or yeah, all the four, or one of the four for the Schach, and any species, any type of Schach which is not one of the Arba Minim is not kosher for Schach? Vatani, we learned in the Braisa. On Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Sichacho B'Nesorim Shel Erez, and Erez normally means a cedar wood, which is not one of the Arba Minim, that if somebody were to use the boards, planks of cedar wood for schach, sheyesh ben arba tfachim divrei hakol psula. If they are four tfachim wide, everybody says they're posel, and we learned about this at length on Daf Yud Zayin with Gzeiras Tikra, and we're not going into that sugya again now. Then if it's four tfachim wide, it's posel. Ein bem arba tfachim, if they are between three and four tfachim wide, Reb Meir posel, Reb Yehuda machshir. And then there's a machlekes. Reb Yehuda says it's kosher, Reb Meir says it's posel, and we're not going now again into what the machlekes between them is, but Reb Yehuda says it's kosher. Umayda Reb Meir, and by the way, the Gemara mentions at the end of the Braisa, Reb Meir agrees, Shem yesh bein neser le neser, kamaloi neser, that if between each plank, which of the cedar wood, there's shemaniach psol benem, if you put kosher schach between the two posel planks, ukshero, then it will be kosher. And again, for details and understanding of that, we need to revert back to the previous sugis on Daf Yud Zayin. But what do we see from here? We see clearly that according to Rabbi Yehuda, then one is allowed to use, provided that they're not too wide, one's allowed to use nesorim shel erez, cedar planks for schach. Did Rabbi Yehuda not say in the Braisa that schach has to be one of the four minim? Answers the Gemara, you're right that erez normally means cedar wood. However, that my erez, in this case, erez actually means tahodos. It means a hadassim tree is called erez. Kederabba Barav Huna, and we see this from Rabba Barav Huna, the Omer Rabba Barav Huna. Omri Be Rav, they said in the Beis Medrash of Rav, Asara mine arozim hein. There are 10 different types of woods which are called erez. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, and the Pasuk actually only mentions 7 of them. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Gimel explains what the other 3 are. And it says in the Pasuk, Etein Bamidbor, Erez 1, Shita 2, Vahadas 3, Ve'etz Shemen 4, Osim Ba'arova, Baroish 5, Tidhar 6, Va'ashur Yachtov, Usashur Yachtov is 7. So you see there that Hadas is one of those that are considered Erez. And that's what the Gemara brings here. The Pasuk, the beginning of the Pasuk, Etin Bamidbar Erez Vahadas, actually says Erez Shito Vahadas. So you see that Hadas is called an Erez. And that's what it means when the Mishnah said before, that on the Braisa said in Daf Yud Zayin, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to use Nesorim Shel Erez. It doesn't mean regular Erez as in cedar wood. It means the Hadas tree. And that complies with what Rabbi Yehuda said, that the Schach has to be one of the species of the Lulav. Continues the Gemara, Reb Meir Oimer Afilu B'Mashisa Chulu, we saw in the Mishnah, Reb Meir says that they would even tie the lulav with threads of linen, which are clearly not one of the minim, one of the species of the lulav. Tanya, we saw in a Braisa, in a Tisefta, Omer Reb Meir, Maisa B'Yakire Yerushalayim. In the Mishnah, Reb Meir mentioned this in the name of Anche Yerushalayim, the people of Yerushalayim. Here in this Braisa, it quotes, the Yakire Yerushalayim, the prominent and important people of Yerushalayim, Shal Yoigdim Es Lulavim, they would tie the lulavim, B'Gimoyni Es Shalzov, and we saw this in the Mishnah, with threads of with fibers of gold. And Omruloi, the Chachomim said to Reb Meir, Misham Raya, don't bring proof from there that you can use anything for the Igud, because Beminoi Hayu Oigdin Oisim Ilamata, they would fulfill the requirement of Igud with something else. Those Anshei Yerushalayim would use one of the four species to actually tie the lulav with the Hadassim and Aravos. They merely put on this gold to beautify the mitzvah. Anything that's there that's done to beautify the mitzvah is not considered an extra min. It's not considered as taking a fifth type of a fifth species, and therefore there's no problem of Baal Tosef, and therefore there's no proof from the Yekirei Yerushalayim against Reb Yehuda. Continues the Gemara, Omaluhu Rabba, Lahane Megadle Hishana de Beiresh Gelusa. Rabba said to those who were fixing and preparing the lulav, Megadle means to fix, Hishana is the lulav, de Beiresh Gelusa, of the head of the Golus. Ki Gadliso Hishana de Beiresh Gelusa, when you prepare the lulav of the Resh Gelusa, Shairi Bey, make sure that under the Eged, that you leave a space. Base yad is a handle somewhere for the hands to be able to hold the lulav directly without the eged being in between and separating between the bare hands and the lulav. In order there should not be a separation between the hands of the Resh Gelusa and the lulav. And over here that Rashi explains that Rabbah holds that we're talking about that you did the igud with one of the species of the lulav. There's no problem here of Baal Tosef or anything like that. That's not the issue here. He's using the same species. However, he holds that lulav ain't tzorich eged. The lulav does not need to be tied. It's not essential. Since it's not essential, then the tying actually acts as a separation between the hand and the lulav. And we're going to see later on Amud Beis that Rabbi himself holds that even though the igud is the same as one of the species that he's holding, min b'minoi choytzetz, according to Rabbi, it serves as a chatzitza. And therefore, Rabbi told these people, make sure the space underneath the eged, in order to hold the lulav directly, not via the igud. Rav Omar, Rav argued and said, no, kol l'na'oisoi eine choytzetz. Since they did the igud in order to beautify the lulav, and anything which is there to beautify the lulav is not considered a chatzitza. Continues the Gemara of Omar Rabba. Loilinkat ine sheishana basudra, when a person takes the lulav, he should not wrap a scarf around his hand and that way take the lulav. The be'inon lekichot tamo, because it says velokachtem, and we've already seen lokachtem means velokach. It has to be a whole taking. A whole taking means that there's no separation between the hand and what you're taking. Veleka, and if you'd have a scarf wrapped around your hand, then you're not having a complete taking. You're not directly taking the lulav. V'Rav Omar, Rav argues and says, Lekicha alidei dova acher shmo lekicha. Lekicha means that you are taking, your hand is taking something. If there's something in between your hand and what you're taking, that's also called your hand is taking it. It's called that my hand is taking it via something else. It's lekicha alidei dova acher. That's also considered a lekicha. Omar Rav. And Rava says, Menoa Menolo, you want to know proof, the Lekicha Alidei Dova Acher, Shmo Lekicha, that it's called the Lekicha, I'll bring you proof from a Mishnah, that none we learned a Mishnah in Perek Yud Beis of Maseches Poro. It says in the Mishnah, Eizoiv Kotzor, what happens, the way they used to sprinkle the water with the ashes of the Poro Adumo onto either people or utensils that were Tommy Mace, they would dip the Eizoiv, these grasses, into the tube, into a shveiferes, into a tube that's containing this water, and then they would sprinkle onto whatever needs sprinkling. What happens if the grass that is using the azov is too short, and you cannot, when you put it into the top of the tube of the shveiferes, it doesn't reach the water. Mesapko, you can lengthen the grasses, so to speak, bechut, either with a thread, or bekush, or with a spindle, v'toivel, and that way the grass will reach the bottom of the tube where the water is. Umayla, and you'd raise up the grass that now has the water on it. And then he will actually hold not the thread or the spindle, he'll actually hold the ezev itself. Umaze, and sprinkle on whatever needs sprinkling on those utensils. And so that's what it says in the Mishnah. So Amai, Why would you be able to lengthen the grass, so to speak, with something that's not grass, with either a thread or with a spindle? Says the Gemara. The Gemara is asking, because it says in the Pasuk, V'lokach ezoiv, you should take the ezoiv, v'toval b'mayim, and dip it into the water. So it says that you have to take the ezoiv when you're dipping it. This is called taking the ezoiv. You're not holding the ezoiv. Omar Rachmona, the Torah says, V'lokach v'toval. Elolav, says Rava, it must be, the Shema Mino, I have proof from here, that lekicha, l'idei tova achir, shmo lekicha. Even though it says, V'lokach ezoiv, you have to take the grass, since I'm taking it via something else, the thread or the spindle, it's also considered V'lokach, and therefore it's okay. That was Rava's proof, that lekicha, l'idei tova achir, shmo lekicha. You'll ask me, if lekicha l'idei dov acher, shmo lekicha, why then, when I take the ezoiv out of this tube, why do I need to then grab hold of the ezoiv itself? Why can I not sprinkle it whilst holding the thread or the spindle? So Rashi addresses that, and Rashi says, because you're trying to aim at the utensils, and if you're going to have these grasses held on a string, and you're going to try and sprinkle, you're not going to aim. The water is not going to reach its target, and therefore, it's just common sense, technically, hold the grass, and that way you'll be able to sprinkle and reach where you have to reach. Says the Gemara, Mimai, maybe that's not a good proof that lekicha l'idei dov acher shmo lekicha. Dilmashani hasam, maybe there is different, given the chobrei kagufei domi. Over there, he actually knotted it, he tied the spindle or the thread to the grass. If you tie something, then it's considered as one. It's considered as if I took the grass. It's not considered as if I took the thread and the thread is holding the grass. Lekicha l'idei dover acher. No, it's considered, or it might be called lekicha l'idei dover acher, but it's a type of lekicha l'idei dover acher that the thing I'm taking and that dover acher with which I'm taking it have been bound into one. It's been tied. Maybe over there it suffices and it's called a lekicha. But over here, when a person has a scarf round his hand, he's not tying the scarf to the lulav. If he were to tie the scarf to the lulav, then indeed it would be the same as that Mishnah. But you're not tying the scarf to the lulav, the scarf is tied round your hand. And therefore, maybe in that case, everybody would agree that lekicha l'idei dov acher is not called a lekicha, and therefore Rava has no proof from that Mishnah. Elo mehacha, Rava brings a different proof from a different source that lekicha l'idei dov acher is called a lekicha even if it's not tied. And this is from another Mishnah in Maseches Parah in Perek Vav. It says there that the ashes of the Parah Aduma would be stored in a tube, also in a tube. And when they would come then to the trough, which was full of water, special water, Maim Chaim, whatever waters they used for the Parah Aduma, they would then pour the ashes out of this tube into the trough, mix it together, and that would be the waters of the Parah Aduma. So what does it say in the Mishnah? Nofel mishfeferes l'sheikas. What happens if the ashes were not poured or taken in from the tube and put into the trough? Rather, they just fell over into the trough from the shfeferes. Pasul, it's pasul. What do we see from there? That's what it says in the Mishnah, but we can deduce from there that if they fell on their own, then it would be a problem. Ha hepilui, but if a person would take this shreferes and pour the content straight into the water, ha hepilui hu, if the person himself tipped over the contents of the shreferes into the shoikes, it would be kosher. Asks the Gemara, Amai, why would that be true? The Pasuk says, V'lokhu, you have to take latomi, for the tomi person, me'afaros sreifas achatos, from the earth, from the ashes of the burnt poraduma, v'nosan olov mayim chayim el keli, and you have to take it and put it onto the water. So it says, V'lokhu, v'nosan, you have to take the ashes and put them on the water. Omar Rachmana, the Torah says. And over here, you're not taking the ashes. It's true, if they fell over on their own, then there was no velokhoi, there was no venosan. But if you take, if the person himself takes this tube of ashes and pours them and empties the contents onto the water, is that called taking and putting? We would have thought that you have to actually take the ashes with your bare hands. Velokhoi, remove the ashes from the from this tube and put it onto the water. It doesn't say that. It says hapiloi, that if you pour the contents of the tube into the trough, it's good enough. But the pasuk says v'lochi v'nosan. Elolav says Rav, I have proof from here. Shma mino l'kicha l'didavachel shmo l'kicha. Taking the ashes via the tube. That means I'm holding the ashes via holding the tube that's containing the ashes is also called l'kicha. L'kicha l'didavachel is shmo l'kicha. And over here the tube is not being tied. It's not mechubar with the ashes inside it. So it's similar to the scarf on a person's hand, and the same as over there, it's sufficient. So too, says Rava, if you have a scarf round your hand and you take the lulav, you're yetzah. Because lekicha lidei davar achir, shmo lekicha. Continues the Gemara, another halacha, v'omar Rabba. Another halacha from Rabba, lo lidoitz inish lulava bohishano. If a person is tied, the aravos and the adasim together, he shouldn't push the lulav into that binding of the adasim and the aravos. Dilma nosri tarfo, because when you're doing that, there's a chance it could be that you're going to remove some of the hadasim leaves and some of the aravos leaves. And where are these detached leaves going to be? They're going to be inside this bundle now, between the lulav and the adasim, or between the lulav and the aravos. And they're all going to be together. And then we have an issue that we have a chatzitza. It's considered a chatzitza. Because since there's a separation between the three species with these leaves that have been detached, then it's not considered that I'm taking a single lekicha of the three species, because the three species are actually not been bound together, so to speak, because there's something in between them. So that's why Rabbi says, don't do that. Rather, untie the hadasim and aravos, and position adasim naravos next to the lulav and next to the lulav, and then retie them. Rava Omar Rava says there's no issue. Even if you've got some leaves of hadasim and aravos detached in this bundle, it's no problem. Min b'minoi, since it's the same species, hadasim and adasim leaves, aravos and aravos leaves, eine chaitzut is not considered a separation between the lulav and adasim and aravos, and therefore it's okay. We already saw in Amud Aleph that Rabba may hold min b'minoi is chaitzitz, and that's why Rabbi told the people who were taking care of the lulav of the Resh Kalusa to leave space to hold the lulav. Continues the Gemara of Omar Rabba, another halacha, lo ilegiz inish lulva bohishano. When you have lulav that's been tied with hadasim and aravos, and it's sticking out at the bottom, and it's longer than you want it, so don't cut off the base of the lulav. Why? Because we know that the lulav leaves are much longer. They are long, and they go upwards, which means if you cut a couple of centimeters, a couple of inches at the bottom of the lulav, then the base of the lulav will be cut off. But all those leaves that were attached to that part of the lulav that's now no longer there are now detached lulav leaves that are separating between the hadasim and the lulav, or between the aravos and the lulav. The mishtairi hutza, because there's leaves over some leaves, v'have a chatzitza, and it's going to be a chatzitza. And this is again, Rabba holds, min b'minoi is a chatzitza. Says the Gemara of Rava Omar, Rava again argued, min b'mina einei chaitzitz, since the lulav leaves and the lulav are the same species, they do not act as a chatzitza. Continues the Gemara of Omar Rabba, hadas shel mitzvah. You have hadasim that you're using on sukkahs for the mitzvah of hadas in the lulav. Osa lo riach boy, you're not allowed to smell it for the entire duration of the 7 days of sukkahs. And Rashi says, we learn this from Sukkah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that since the Sukkah has been designated as a mitzvah, Shem Shomayim Chal Al Atzei Sukkah, and therefore one's not allowed to derive personal benefit from it the whole week, since it's been set aside for a mitzvah. So the Rashi explains that Rabbi is saying the same here. The Hadassim have been set aside for a mitzvah, don't have any personal benefit and pleasure from them. Esrug Shal Mitzvah. However, an Esrug of that's going to be used, or that is used for the lulav on sukkahs, mutar liriach boy, you're allowed to smell them. Why? My tama hadas, because the hadas de lerecha koi, what hadasim are used for typically is to smell them, and therefore ki akse, when you set them aside for the mitzvah, what you actually mean to do is to designate them that they should be used for the mitzvah and not be used for what they are normally used for, for to smell, and therefore mirecha akte, he separated himself, and he set them aside that they should not be used for smelling. Esrog, however, an esrog de la achila koi. An esrog is only used to eat, typically the whole year round. You don't smell esrogim, you eat esrogim. And therefore, ki akte, when you set an esrog aside for to be used for the arba minim with the lulav, then all you're doing is me'achila akte. What you mean to say is, I'm separating it and I'm not going to eat it. But you didn't have in mind, or you're separating it for the mitzvah, did not include a separation from smelling them. And obviously, the first thing that comes to mind here is the Gemara we saw before on the Flamud Vav Amud Beis, that Rav Chanina ate his esrog. And Tosfos on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis discusses this a little bit, and you can look there in Tosfos. Continues the Gemara. Va'omar Rabba, another halacha said Rabba, that hadas, hadasim, b'mechubor. Hadasim, and this is nothing to do with Sukkos now, a regular Shabbos of the whole year. You've got a hadas bush, or hadas tree, a hadas bush, and you've got hadasim that are attached to the ground, attached to the bush. Mutar l'oreach bo, Rabbi says you're allowed to smell them on Shabbos. However, an estrog, if you have an estrog tree, and you pass by on Shabbos, you want to smell it, then b'mechubor also l'oreach bo, it's attached to the tree, you're not allowed to smell them on Shabbos. My tama, how would you explain this? Hadasim deloriach koi. All you ever do with hadasim is smell them. So, ishoriously, if you're going to allow a person to smell the hadasim whilst they're still on the tree, then since it's no problem, it's no effort to smell the hadasim whilst they're on the tree, there's no reason in the world a person should want to cut off the hadasim. What do you want to do with hadasim? Smell them? Smell them on the tree. There's no risk of cutting them, on which is also on Shabbos. However, esrog, what would you normally do with an esrog? De la'achila koi, as we saw before, esrogim are there to be eaten. So ishoristeh, if you're going to allow him to smell the esrog, osilim igzaya. He may, by mistake, think, oh, I'm going to go to the esrog and smell it. He's got the esrog in his hand. He's going to say, oh, it'll be nice to eat the esrog. He's going to pull it off the tree, and that is also, it's one of the lamed tes melachos to pull anything off a tree. And if he's going to bite the esrog when it's on the tree, is also osur. It's also called toilosh, detaching from a tree, and it's osur. And therefore, since a person is susceptible to removing the esrog to eat it, you cannot eat it on the tree. You can eat it off the tree. You can pull it off the tree and eat it, but you cannot use it for eating while still remaining attached to the tree. And therefore, don't even go and smell it. Bahadasim, you use them to smell, you can continue doing that while on the tree, and therefore it's mutter. Continues the Gemara of Omar Rabba. Another halacha in Hilchas Lulav. Lulav biyamin, the lulav with hadasim, narovus, you take in the right hand, the esrog, and the esrog besmoil in the left hand. My tama, why? Hanet losa mitzvahs, v'haichodem mitzvah. Because in the right hand, I've got three mitzvahs, the lulav, the hadas, and narovah. And in the left hand, I've only got one, I've only got the esrog. And therefore, we give the three mitzvahs into the more prominent hand, the stronger hand, into the right hand. Omar le Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Zrika. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zrika, "My tam lo mevorchinon elo al netilas lulav." When you take the lulav, we make a brocha. What brocha do we make? Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvosu v'tzivonu al netilas lulav. Why do we only single out the lulav? What's with the hadasim, narovas, the esrog? The answer is the Gemara, hoyil o gvoya mikulon. Because the lulav is the most significant, it's the highest of all of them, therefore the entire binding, the entire lulav, the entire igud is called lulav. Asks the Gemara, what are you getting impressed about, that the lulav is protruding, it's higher than all the rest? V'legbiei le'esrog. So lift up the esrog, higher than the lulav, v'levarich, and make a brach on the esrog. So Amaleis, he answers him, no. It's not about how high it is off the ground. It's about which is the longest species. The longest of these species is the lulav. A lulav is longer than hadasim and longer than aravus, and certainly longer than the esrog. And therefore, you make the bracha on the lulav and not on the other species. Continues the next Mishnah. Veheichon hoyu menanim. From somewhere we know that when we use the lulav in order to shake the lulav. Where do we shake it? In Halil. So we all know it, because we all know in every sukkah, in shul, we shake the lulav. When we take the lulav, we shake the lulav in Halil. So we all know that. But the Mishnah here is taking it for granted that we know that you shake the lulav. And the Gemara is going to ask, like, who told you you have to shake the lulav? And the Gemara is going to remind us of what we saw on Daf Choftes Amud Beis. On Choftes Amud Beis, where the Gemara discussed the length of the lulav, the Mishnah mentioned the extra tefach to be able to shake the lulav above the height of the hadasim and the Aravos. So we're going to remember that. And now the Mishnah is going back to that and saying, okay, so you know that you need to shake the lulav. Where in Halil, at what place in Halil do you shake the lulav? That's what the Mishnah is asking. Says the Mishnah, it's going to be Bes Hillel says this, Behoidu Lashem Tchilav Asayf, in Perikuf Yud Ches in Tehillim, where it says once Hoidu at the beginning, which is actually the first time we meet Hoidu in Halil, and there's another Hoidu at the end, which is the last time we meet Hoidu in Halil, just before we make the bracha, the end of Halil, so you shake those two Hoidus. And also, Be'on Hashem Oishiyono, when saying On Hashem Oishiyono in the middle, also we shake. Divir bis Hillel. Bis Shama Imrim, bis Shama say, Af Be'on Hashem Atzlichono, also Be'on Hashem Atzlichono. Omer of Ukva, Rabbi Kiva said, Tzayfa Yisi, I was watching Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua. I was watching these two great sages of Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Shekola Om Hoyu Menanim Eslulavim, that all the people, they were shaking their lulav by Ono Hashem Atzlichono, like Bis Shammai. Vahem, but they, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, lo yinenu, elo ba'ono Hashem Hashiyono, they followed Bis Hillel, they only shaked by Ono Hashem Hashiyono, not by Ono Hashem Hatzlichono. Says the Gemara, Na'anua mandachar shmei, who mentioned shaking a lulav that you ask, where in Halil do you shake a lulav? Who mentioned shaking the lulav? Says the Gemara Hosam Koi is going back on that Mishnah on Choftes Amud Beis. Over there it says, Kol lulav shiesh boi shleisha tvochim, a lulav that has three tvochim, kedei lenanea boi an extra tefach on top, a fourth tefach with which to do the shaking. Kosher, that's a kosher lulav. Oko Omar, and now the Mishnah here is saying, Heichon menanin, where in Halil do you do the nanua? Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam we learned in a Mishnah in Maseches Menachos, and this is talking about the waving of the Shtei HaLechem and the two lambs on Shavuos. They would bring two breads, or it would be part of, they wouldn't put it onto the Mizbeach, but there would be a korban called Shtei HaLechem that would accompany the two lambs, which would be brought as a korban, and they would be woven, one would wave them around. So the Mishnah says, Shtei HaLechem u'shnei kivsei atzeres, keitzat u'oysa. How would he do it? Says the Mishnah, Maniach shtei alechem al gabe shtei akvosim. He takes the two breads and puts them on top of the two lambs. Umaniach yodei tachtei, and he puts his hand under the two lambs. Umeinif, and he waves them. Umeilich, umeivi, which means that he moves it away from him and back towards himself. Maila, umeirid, and he lifts them up and lowers them down again. Shneimer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'kidash to'eis chazei atnufa ve'eis sheika truma asher hunaf v'asher huram. It mentions there the hunaf, which is the waving, and the huram, which is the lifting. Me'ela miluim, and there it's actually talking about the parts of the avoida of the miluim, not talking about the shtei alechem and the kivsei atzeres, but in other places in Shas, and Rashi brings it here, we learn that all the tnufos, all the wavings that are all done in a similar fashion. So from that pasuk we see there's a concept called Hunaf, which is waving, and there's a concept called Huram. Hunaf means melech omevi, waving it away from yourself and back to yourself. Huram means lifting, and obviously when you lift, you lower. So that is what they would do with the Shtei Alechem and the Kivsei Atzeres. Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan now explains, why would they do this? Melech omevi lemi she'ar barucho is sheloi. Because when you wave something back, you know, away from yourself and towards yourself, then, and they would do this to all four sides, then they would do this in order to show that the mitzvah that they're doing of bringing the korban, the shtei alechem, and the kivsei atzeres, they're doing it for who? For Hashem. And Hashem, He is the master of the winds, and the winds are on all four sides. Milo Moirid, the reason that we would lift it up and down is Lemisha Hashemayim Vorez Shaloi, to show that we're doing this mitzvah for the sake of Hashem, who the heaven, which is what we allude to when we lift it, the Shemayim, and the Oretz is down, that the heaven and the earth belongs to Him. Shaloi is His. But Marova Masnuhacha, in Eretz Yisrael, they would say as follows, Omer B'choma Bar Ukva, Omer B'yosi Bar B'chanina, Meilech U'meivi, they would wave it away from themselves and towards themselves, kidei la'atzei ruchei sroi, in order to stop, in order to be protected from those bad winds, from those winds that are dangerous or that are not good for us, mailo mairid, and we lift it and lower it, kidei la'atzei tlolim roim, the dew, or the more accurately probably means the rains, that those rains that are not good for us, to stop them. That's what they would when that's what the Shtei Alechem and the Kivsei Atzeres, that's why they were woven and lifted. Omer Rabbi Yosi bar Ovin v'teimi Rabbi Yosi bar Zevilo. Zoisei Meres. It's an amazing thing. What do we see from here? We see that Shiori Mitzvah, even the part of the Mitzvah that's not an integral part of the Mitzvah, it's not an essential part of the Mitzvah. And we learned in Yuma Daf Hei explicitly that the waving and the lifting of the Shtei Alechem and the Kivsei Atzeres, they do not, it's not essential. And if you don't do them, you'll still get atoned. The Korban will still fulfill its purpose. Nonetheless, even though it's just a side part, so to speak, a leftover part of the mitzvah, it's the part of the mitzvah that's not the main part of the mitzvah, nonetheless, ma'akvin es ha'puronos, it can stop and protect us from bad things happening to us. Shahari tnufa, because this waving and lifting of the Shtei Alechem and the Kivsei Atzeres, shiori mitzvah, it's not ma'akv, it's not essential. But nonetheless, v'itzeres ruchos utlolim roim, nonetheless, they can stop the winds and the rains from hurting us. So that's as far as the Shtei Alechem, the Kivsei Atzeres. V'omar Rava. Rava said, v'chein b'luluv. Luluv also, that when we menanea them, moylich or mevi, away from us and towards us, and up and down. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, mamtila u'maisile. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he would do exactly that. He would be moylich, he would extend the luluv away from himself and then back towards himself. And that's the mamti u'maisi. And Omar, and he would say, that Dain Giro Be'ene de Sitna. This lulav that I'm waving here, this is an arrow in the eyes of the Sotan. Because it's showing the Sotan, you couldn't even stop us from accepting the yoke of Torah, the yoke of mitzvahs. Here we are, we're doing these mitzvahs. Look how we're doing the mitzvahs. And it's an arrow in the eyes of the Sotan. Vlav Milsi, however, the Gemara says it's not appropriate to actually verbalize such a thing. Mishum de'osi le'igure be. Because you're provoking the Yetzirah, and that's not such a good idea. And when it says v'chein belulav, Rashi just mentions here moylech mevi mailo moirid, that the lulav also, we do these movements with the lulav, as we know, the nanuim. But Rashi in a couple of places mentions that the reason, or that we shake the lulav round, what it alludes to is, as we saw before, that it's latzei ruchos rois and tlolim roim, that it protects us from all those negative influences in the world, from the winds that could hurt us, and from the rains that could harm us. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.